Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
As a lover of all things Alfred Hitchcock, Stephen Rebello first appeared on my cultural radar screen when the movie Hitchcock was released in 2012. After all, Stephen wrote the movie. It was based on his book. As it turns out, Stephen has another guilty film pleasure when it comes to these things. The Valley of the Dolls was released right before Christmas in 1967. That movie was based on Jacqueline Suzanne's best-selling novel from the previous year. And now Stephen is out with Dolls, 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 Deep Inside the Valley of the Dolls, the most beloved and bad movie, most beloved and bad book and movie of all time. And Stephen Rebello joins me now. Stephen, when did your obsession begin with all things Valley?
I saw the movie, and I had a great, strange reaction to it. It was hilariously bad, and yet strangely touching. And I thought I'd never quite seen a movie so inept, and yet it got under my skin, certainly got under the skin of the audience that I saw it with in Boston, Massachusetts, during a terrible storm. But the place was, it was early in the morning, and the place was packed. And I heard people sniffling and crying, and my friends were nearly ejected from the theater because we were laughing really loudly, not trying to be, hey, pay attention to us, we're the show. But we kind of couldn't help it because the excesses were so excess. The wigs were so high, the lines were so clunkingly terrible, but it was irresistible. And, I kept going back to it over the years. I love films by Douglas Sirk, like Imitation of Life and Written on the Wind and, high-voltage melodramas. But those had more kind of emotional ballast to them, and this one is sort of untethered. And there was just something about it that I found appealing. And I went back to it, once in a while, year after year, and had different reactions to it as I had different life experiences. And I, at parties, at gatherings, people would always talk about their quote-unquote guilty pleasures in terms of movies. And people of all walks of life, all different ages, always talked about Valley of the Dolls, and I thought, wouldn't it be interesting, or couldn't it possibly be interesting at some point to do a book with as much serious intent and research and scholarship as I tried to put into Hitchcock, in the making of Psycho back in that day, to a movie where there were high intentions, good intentions on the part of the makers and the actors and all the people behind the scenes, but everything turned out wrong. And it turns out there was a real story there.
And the movie and the book in particular, they were really product of their times, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, but, honestly, I think they're really interesting products of their times, Brian. I mean, a lot of people, when they say that, they mean they're relics and, have no relationship to what's going on in the world today. But Jacqueline Suzanne, who was the novelist, created and launched and promoted Valley of the Dolls to the high heavens, she had her finger on the pulse of something that was going on at the time, which was, widespread pill-taking among, not quote-unquote derelicts or not quote-unquote, those other people, but among wealthy, beautiful, accomplished women who were climbing their way to the top. Many of them got there and yet found nothing when they got there that was fulfilling or life-sustaining, and turned to alcohol and pills. I can see a direct line, from the pill-taking that Jacqueline Suzanne was describing in the book and then the movie, with the current opioid crisis. Her novel had a lot to do with what happens to women when they reach a certain age, how they're pushed aside how they're seen as less desirable, and, you know, and what that can do to a person. Again, that seems to me universal, although, you know, the book, of course, captures its, you know, language and characters very much of that era, but that's another thing that makes it part of the fun. The characters really are bigger than life. And, you know, and they're very exciting. They're very dynamic. Their language is, you know, coarse, but it has a vitality to it. So, I mean, the book and the movie are completely different things, really. The book spans decades. The movie is, it's hard to know how much time we're meant to think past, but it's very much of the 60s. It looks like the 60s. It tries to sound like the 60s, and yet it's incredibly flat and very unhip. So that makes it very, very funny in a strange way. But again, it's the vitality of those characters, the plight of those women that you know, give it a resonance that lasts.
I thought it was so interesting that Judy Garland, the story behind Judy Garland and her involvement in the film, because I remember Judy from Wizard of Oz, and, you know, she was before my era, so that was kind of all I knew about her. But her involvement with this film, there's been a lot of controversy over the years, or at least debate, rather, about whether this was all a stunt, but she was forced out one way or the other, right?
That's right, she was. She was just in her early 40s at the time, but had lived a lifetime of, you know, three or four women, and she was very played out at the time. She was scared that her voice was leaving her, that her talent was leaving her. She hadn't made a film at that point in about 5 years, and Hollywood looked at her as a big risk, maybe potentially not employable. But she was hired to play a character named Helen Lawson, who was based on an old Broadway legendary star named Ethel Merman. And the odd thing, of course, is that there is a character in Valley of the Dolls book and movie that is supposed to be Judy Garland, and that character is played by Patty Duke. So I think, you know, it's strange. I think they had sort of a meta casting thing going on in terms of, you know, that anyone who had read the book knew that these characters were based on very famous people. And here they are casting one of the women who is supposed to be one of the characters in the movie, I mean, in the book. And so, you know, it had layer upon layer of sort of meta significance. But it also had great publicity value. And there is real debate about whether the whole thing was a publicity stunt, hiring her to keep her from suing, you know, for life rights infringement or defamation, because it just seemed that the director had another actress in mind all the time, and she speedily got cast in the role when Judy Garland was fired. The filming was difficult for Judy Garland. She was treated really badly, but she also, on the soundstage, she had apparently no energy. She kept forgetting her lines. She was very, very nervous. But, you know, she was from the era, you know, with MGM, with Wizard of Oz, and other great movies where they took time and attention, and she was a big star, and they treated her that way. On this movie, on Valley of the Dolls, they treated her as if she were just, you know, another cog in a bigger machine. And she didn't like it. She hated the director. The director apparently didn't like her, and it ended really badly.
Had Sharon Tate's life not got cut down so early, would this movie have done anything to propel her beyond where she was at the time of her death?
It's a great question. It's hard to say. She certainly was pretty. She certainly was touching in the role. Sometimes, because I think we look at the movie now, if we look at it at all, but if we look at it, we can't help but think of what her fate was as we watch this movie. And, I think she had started to realize that she was not going to get cast in the way that she hoped that she would. And she was starting to think more and more about having kids, spending less time, attention, and energy into her career. And look, she wouldn't be the first person who started in Hollywood seen as pretty and decorative, but who deepened finally as an actress. Certainly that happened with Jane Fonda. And, you know, it happened with a number of women over the years who were, you know, thought to be decorative but actually had something else. I think she might have. She might have had a nice career in comedy. She was a very funny, sort of salty-tongued person, and if someone could have captured that kind of energy, she probably, you know, she might have gone on if she wanted to. But we'll never know that, but it's an interesting way to speculate on what her career might have been. She got rather good reviews for the movie, which was surprising considering most of the other people did not.
The book is Dolls, Dolls, Dolls. Stephen Rebello is the author. Stephen, great work here. I learned a lot, and thanks for joining me to talk about it.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.